It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Welcome to Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. We believe that retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful season of a person's life. So don't retire, become repurposed. Well, I'm your host, Jared Sebesta. I'm the co-founder of Retire Repurpose alongside Ben Tejas. Thank you so much for joining us today. Whether you're listening to us on the radio, maybe you found us online, if you would just take a moment, head over to iTunes, find our podcast, click subscribe, and better yet, leave us a quick positive rating and review. If you just take a second and do that, we would appreciate that so much. Now, this podcast, it is about retirement, but it's not about money. It's about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. Few people can work a career 30, 40, maybe 50 plus years, flip the switch, retire the next day without methodical steps into living a repurposed retirement. If you want more for your life and your retirement, then you have come to the right place. Well, on this episode, we sit down with Scott Toma. Scott grew up in southwest Minnesota and lived through the historic Tracy tornado on June 13, 1968, one of only two recorded EF5 tornadoes ever in the state. Scott not only has an incredible childhood story, but now at the age of 62, he is a feature writer for a senior publication sharing the stories of other retirees. In this podcast, Scott recounts how the events following the Tracy tornado has inspired him to share the stories of other influential retirees today. Scott also explains how his entire mindset on life and retirement has recently changed because of the stories of others. Enjoy.
After the tornado, my dad took me and to help other people.
Yeah.
To see if everybody was okay, because our family was okay. Our house got wrecked, but we were all okay. And then he took me out, and he stayed out all night, you know, and he pulled out a couple of dead bodies and out of the rubble. And so then I wanted to write the book while he was still living in his honor, kind of, because I was so impressed that he did that all night. But then he passed away before I got it done. Mm. So I just thought, I'm still going to go ahead and do it. So.
Yeah, yeah. What's the one thing that really sticks out from that night? Is it the terror? Is it the smell? Is it the sound? Like, what is it about that night?
There was no sound, is what the weird part was. That I remember when we came out of the basement, everybody was so shocked. There was no screaming or, you know, the wind had gone past. Everything was just still and quiet. Hmm. And then there would be a dust settling, like when you see Civil War scenes where the gunpowder, you know, was floating in the air a little bit. That's what it was. Just the dust hadn't settled, and it was everybody that was coming out of the basement were like 9/11 people with black all over them, you know, the ones that had their houses had been wrecked. But I just remember initially it was just complete silence. Mm. That was kind of a weird. And then as people got a little more used to it, you heard screaming and crying and chainsaws going right away. Then it was noisy for a week.
Yeah.
You know, you almost couldn't stand this, you know, the noise you got to you after a while.
Yeah.
Helicopters going overhead and stuff like that.
This is back in 1968. You were 9 years old.
I was 9 years old.
Young boy at the time, clearly affected you and had been on your heart for decades before you actually wrote the book. What was it so much that impacted you that you wanted to always retell that story?
It was so weird because you can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I can remember that entire day before the tornado, all the way through. Hmm. I mean, just perfectly, because it was so hot and humid that day. You know, I remember what we did as kids, you know, just normal activities. I mean, I can just remember every little thing, but what impacted me, I wasn't scared because I was too young to really realize, you know, what was really going on. I mean, it was kind of more of, wow, look at all this, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But what impacted me initially was walking around town and seeing all these vehicles from towns as far as the cities were all there immediately, you know, emergency vehicles and utility trucks and everything just to help.
Yeah.
And that was kind of to show how much people wanted to help each other was, you know, I did see two of the people, of the nine people that died, my dad helped pull them out. Of course, that impacted me quite a bit. I mean, I still think of that.
Yeah.
Of the nine people, I'd mentioned to you before that I every year I release 9 black balloons in their honor, just in Tracy. I don't, you know, advertise it, nothing like that. And then I always go and visit all 9 of the graves. They're not all in Tracy. They're in about 5 or 6 different towns. I go visit them every year. Mm. Just something I always promise myself I'd do as long as I'm alive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you said that some of the older ladies that did die, that you literally watched your father pull out of the rubble. That kind of has inspired, not maybe not inspired is the right word, but maybe helped you transition into this phase of your life where you are highlighting people at about that age bracket. Because you told me as we were getting prepared here to record that, again, a lot of the people that you're highlighting nowadays at this phase in your life kind of remind you of the same kind of people that you watched tragically killed in this tornado. Are you able to connect the dots in that type of way?
Yep, that's exactly right. There was 2 older neighbor ladies that were killed in the tornado. They used to always call my mom on the phone and tell, you know, have Scott run over. I just bake cookies, or I have candy, or if we played ball out in the street, they would bring lemonade out. You know, you just don't see that much anymore. And they were in their 80s. They just, you know, loved kids. They, you know, just wanted to do things like that. So when I go around and do stories on elderly people around that same age, I immediately think of those people doing that. And most of them are the same way. They want to help other people.
Yeah.
You know, that's all they talk about. Hey, I remember, you know, I did this for that person. And that. They don't want any pay. They don't want any glory for it. Mm. They just enjoy helping other people. And that's kind of why I'm still like to travel around and write these type of stories on these people. They're very inspiring, and they remind me of those people in that tornado.
Well, that's why I wanted to have you on the show. Obviously, you're a storyteller. You're a writer for several publications around here in West Central Minnesota. The way I've gotten connected with you is, A, I had the honor of writing the foreword in your book, Out of the Blue, highlighting your vantage point in your story.
Which was the best part of the book.
arguably. But no, it was a great book, phenomenal story. I encourage people to check it out. But, you know, here you are now writing for a publication or several publications in this area, and this is what you're doing. So again, you're a storyteller at heart. So I want to hear some of your perspectives on the perspectives that you have seen over the years. How many people do you think that you've highlighted over the course of, because you've been doing this, I think, what did you say, 9+ years or at least?
For a senior perspective, I've been writing for about 9 years.
9 years. So how many, you think dozens, maybe you're up to hundreds at this point.
Well, I was trying, you know, we talked about doing this show, and I was trying to look just to see some of the, you know, to remind myself of some of these inspirational stories. And I was going through, I keep all the papers, and it's in the hundreds easily.
So. That's really cool. And again, as you know, coming from your perspective, you know, you're 62 years old, and I guess some people could consider you of retirement age, but I think it's really cool because you are actually highlighting a lot of people that could be the generation above you, but yet, from what I understand, this is just my perspective, you're almost having more fun than they are covering some of their stories.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it a lot. You realize when you get to be 60, oh, I'm going to be retiring soon. But these people are in their 80s, 90s. I've even done 100-year-old people. They're not ready to quit doing what they're doing. You know, they're sculpting, they're painting, they're playing the piano, they're entertaining other people. They act like they're in their 30s. They're not ready to give up. And so I'm thinking, wow, I'm quite a bit younger than them, even though I felt old. And now I don't want to quit either now just because of these people.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to keep doing this as long as I can too. And many of them have told me, you know, I don't want to retire. I'm not ready to retire. You know, as long as they're in health and everything, they want to keep going.
And some of these people are 100+ years old, and that's their same mentality even at that age, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So again, you've probably interviewed hundreds of people. I asked you to come here today, you know, maybe with your top 3. How hard was it coming up with even a small list of people to say these are the ones that really impacted me the most?
I think when you said to, you know, highlight a few of the 3 or 4 of the people, and then I went home and I was looking through the paper, and I kept thinking, oh, this one was inspirational, this one was good, this one was good. And I think I started with about 40, whittled it down. Now I'm sitting here right now with about 10. I still couldn't erase some of them off of them.
Well, we're recording this summer of 2021. Let's start with the gal who's on the cover of Senior Perspectives right now. She's 100 years
104.
Old. 104-year-old lady. What makes her
special? That was the most recent one I just did. Yeah, Ruth Everson in Painesville. And I had never met her or anything, and I went over there. And you don't know what to expect. 104 is 104.
Right.
You know, I've done people in their 70s that were not in very good shape. You know, and I went over there, and she jumps out of the chair to come and introduce herself, and the nurses had to tell her 3 or 4 times that the doctor has said you can't go walk without her walker. Right. That was part of his deal for her, and she would look around like a 12-year-old kid trying to sneak candy out of a store. She'd look out her door to see if there was any nurses, and then she'd walk around without her walker. You know, it was kind of funny. So we talked for a little while, and she plays piano. She has played the piano for 100 years.
Wow.
She started when she was 4, and she's 104. Hmm. And she remembered her piano teacher's name, where it was. I mean, she just sharp as a tack. And, I mean, to be able to say you played the piano for 100 years,
right.
I mean, that's incredible. So
yeah.
She said, let's go to the piano, I'll show you how I play.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I was going to ask. Did she play
so
for
she,
you?
She goes out of the room, and I could hardly keep up with her. I mean, she was... And even a couple of the people that were working there kept saying, there she goes, you know, because she would just go really, she immediately sat down. She took out these 2 old songbooks out of her. She had her walker and a little pack on there. And she took out these songbooks, and they had been falling apart. So she had them scotch taped the pages, but the scotch tape was that old yellow on there,
yeah.
You know, because they were so old. She sets down and she played and played and played and played. I mean, you couldn't get her to stop. And she entertains them. She's at the Coronas Manor senior living facility, but she goes to other places too.
Wow.
And entertains you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's in this month's Senior Perspective. She keeps saying in there that she does this to see the smiles on the people's faces and to make herself feel good.
Absolutely.
Knowing she can still play the piano. I mean, she didn't play Mary Had a Little Lamb. She was playing some really tough songs, so she's really good. I almost wanted to take piano lessons when I left after that.
Pretty expensive. They got 100 years of history out of it. That's incredible. But you've talked about how a lot of these stories that you have showcased, many of the things that they have in common is that they are still focused on trying to help serve others, entertain others. Has that been a fairly common thread?
Entertain others, I think, which makes them feel good about themselves. And most of them, and it's really incredible, they don't want to talk about their age because they don't feel that age.
Yeah.
They don't care about that number. If they're in their 90s or 100, you know, they don't ever say, you know, you're not supposed to ask a lady her age. They're more than happy to tell how old they are, but they don't want to, they just don't want to talk about it. It's not that they're, you know, don't want to deal with because they're getting old. They just don't feel that way.
Yeah. Because you said this gal, if you asked her how old she felt, what would she say?
I did ask her that, and she said half her age.
Right.
So she said she feels like 50.
Yeah.
Because she said when she was 50, she doesn't feel any different than back then. She gets around that well, and yeah.
Do you think that they get kind of annoyed when people say, oh, you're so old and you're 100? They kind of go on and on. Do you think that kind of bothered her?
Most of them have admitted. She said that annoyed her. And they kept asking her, hey, you're 104. You know, what's your secret? And that's when she told me. I asked her, you know, what's your secret to your longevity? And she said, I knew you were going to ask me this. I did smoke. I did drink. You know, I didn't watch my diet. She just said, you know, it's luck and genetics. And she said her mother and her grandmother both lived to be old. And so,
isn't it? You know, this is just a thought I had as you're explaining her story. You know, I'm 43, so I'm a fraction of her age. But I don't feel 43. It seems like as human beings, it's like there's something in us that doesn't want to, we feel younger than we actually are. And then once I think just tying this back to the idea of retirement, sometimes when people actually retire and start acting old, that's when they actually start feeling more old.
Right.
Isn't that kind of a paradox? Because the people that you've described, and we can't get to them all today, especially the older ones, you know, quote unquote, they have never yet given up this idea or given into the idea that I'm old, so I have to act old.
That I'm supposed to sit around and knit or watch TV and
exactly.
don't get up. No, they don't do that. They won't. And it's not, there's not just a few, there's a lot. It's unfortunate that some people can't do that either, you know, and, you know, health-wise or whatever. But these people that you do stories on, they just, they don't look at age. And yeah, that's what surprised me the most.
You talked about another guy in Painesville. When you went to go interview him, he was in his 90s, and you said you barely made it to that interview.
It was a blizzard, and it was in March, and I almost didn't go, and I got there, and I mean, it was really blowing. I didn't think I was going to get back home, and it was quite a bit of snow, 2-3 feet in his driveway, and he's got this big, huge grain shovel shoveling the driveway like he was 25 years old. Huh. I think he was 93 at the time, and I, you know, I felt just completely embarrassed that I, well, you know, jumped out as quick as I can to, I got to help this guy. And he refused to let me help, and he just shoveled like it was, you know, like he was 20 years old, and he, it's just incredible.
Yeah, so. Was that just his mentality? You said around town, he was known as a guy who was just always active.
On the go, constantly. Never sat still, involved in everything in town, you know, collected old cars and had them in the parades. He used to run a drive-in, you know, those drive-up where you'd, not drive-in movie, but drive-in restaurants, like the old A&Ws. He had one like that, and he just, yeah, he did. He skied. He still skied at 90-some years old. Wow. I mean, downhill snow skiing.
Wow.
And speaking of skiing, there was a guy that I did a story on, too. I just thought of that. I better write that one down, too. In Spicer, that still water skis, and he's in his 90s, so.
Yeah, and that's something, again, think of it, skiing for show. Was he skiing for show?
No.
Or was he just skiing?
Just for the fun of it.
Okay, just for the fun of it, yeah. Again, I think all these activities, not only do they keep you young and moving, what are you doing if you're downhill skiing? Chances are you're with other people and you're, I mean, again, every time I've gone skiing, I'm up on some hill with a bunch of other people. What a great exercise of just the heart.
Yeah, and it's a thrill to do it. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's why he was still doing that. Yeah. He and his wife still ski. And I said, you know, how long, much longer are you going to go ski? And he, as long as I can. He wasn't doing it to show off or nothing. And it wasn't even so much for exercise. It was just to, he enjoyed it. Yeah,
absolutely. So, I'm putting you on the spot here. Can you think of any stories where somebody started something new in their older age, or maybe they got up to a certain age and then at, you know, a certain, you know, maybe beyond what the typical age would be, they decided to take up a new hobby? Or,
well, there's a farmer in Benson's, one I can think of offhand, was, you know, he quit farming. He wanted to keep going, but, you know, he quit farming. He still lived out on the farm. So, and because he couldn't farm anymore, he started collecting tractors. And he's got, you know, about 20 tractors, and he built all these big warehouse shed things out there. And he was able to repurchase his dad's original tractor, and he restored them all and did that. You know, that was something that he hadn't done before, and so that was kind of a neat thing. I'm sure there's quite a few other. I just can't think of any off the top of my head. You know, people collect different things, coins and stuff like that. But you know, after they retire. But boy, I just am very impressed that these people just refuse to say they're old and they don't want to sit around and watch TV and stuff. They want to just stay active. And, I mean, how inspirational to other people. So.
You mentioned another gal that you met in Litchfield. She had an interest. She wasn't that old, but she had an interesting physical, what would you call it, disability? Tell
her
story.
Yeah, her stomach got paralyzed. You know, I'd never heard of that before. You know, I mean, you hear paralysis in your arms and legs and stuff, but she was, I think she's around 60-some years old, so she's not real old, but when I went over to do the story, she has not been able to eat or drink since 1995. I mean, like physically herself. So when I went over there, she's baking, and it smelled so good in the house, and I don't know how you'd be able to do that. So I asked her, how are you able to bake with these smells and not want to eat that? And, you know, she's used to that, but she does it for other people. She just wants to help, you know, brings these treats over to the neighbors and family and all that. And that was... I was very inspirational, too.
You know, let's talk about you just for a second. You are approaching, quote-unquote, retirement age. How
Thanks, Jared.
How has, you know, what you your writings and your storytelling, and even going back to the experience you had as a child through this tornado, how has that molded and shaped the way you look at kind of your pre-retirement and even post-retirement life? What do you see this being with respect to a lot of these people's stories that you've seen and told?
I was planning, I'll retire when I'm 65 and I'll travel and I'll do this. You know, that was my original plan. There's no way I'll do that now. Just these people have inspired me to just keep going, and I enjoy what I do because of them. I just love these stories. You know, they're historical. There's just everything. Every single story has been different. It's not like I've already done one like that.
Right.
I try to find a different one too, but I mean, these are just, I'll keep doing this as long as I can. But I've been very fortunate too. I can associate with some of these people because I kind of drive people nuts because I don't sit still, and I do honestly feel half my age, and which is good. I don't have any physical limitations or anything like that, but my energy level is very good, and I can see that in some of these people too. So,
yeah.
But I was ready to, okay, I'm going to stop doing this and everything, but because of the way I see these people at 90 and 100 years old, doing these things,
right.
I want to keep going like that now.
Well, it's great. It's a great platform to start sharing these stories. We believe that a lot of people think of themselves as not valuable. In fact, we would even go as far to say a society has told this generation that they're not valuable.
Right.
What do you say to a retiree maybe listening to this podcast that maybe your age, maybe a smidge older, and they've kind of believed this lie that their life and their story and their experiences doesn't matter? What would you say to that?
Well, you know, when I was growing up and you'd see an obituary in the paper of somebody died when they were in their 70s and 80s, you didn't ask what happened to them. You just figured they were old. Now you get, people are living longer now too. You see somebody that obituary in their 70s and 80s, you wonder, well, I wonder what happened to them.
Yeah.
And it's just, people just, I don't know, they don't want to give up at all. They just, and they've really impacted a lot of others around them, but yeah, I see a big change in from when I was growing up to now.
Right, right. Yeah. If you could sum it all up, what would be the number one thing that you see in commonality with all these stories that you've covered? Is it the unwillingness to give in that they're old, or is it other people being impact focused? Is there kind of one thing that sticks out more than the other?
I think it's just they don't look at their age as a number. They just look ahead. They don't, what can I do today? They don't look up, that I'm getting closer to, death. They don't look at it that way. They're not worried about dying. They're just living each day at a time, and they're enjoying their life so much. And, that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
So, but you hear all these stories on TV of, crime and racism and all this, it's all negative on TV. There's stories like these out there that we're not getting enough of.
Absolutely.
There's so many people don't know about these stories. There's thousands more that I don't know about yet. Every month I'm looking for some story ideas, and it's not that hard to find them. Yeah. Like that. It's just,
we live in rural Minnesota, and probably within a 30-mile radius of right where we're sitting, there's probably 1,000-plus stories that are all phenomenal. So, again, we encourage people to share their stories. You're doing a great job. Thanks for the time today. Where can people find more about you and some of the stories that you're being told, either through Senior Perspectives or even your book?
TomaBooks.com. There's a little bit about me on there. If you want to order the book, or even there's a story about the tornado on there. Some photos and stuff. I love to hear from people. So,
well, if you've got a great story, let Scott know and let myself know, because maybe we can share some of these stories on both of our platforms. I think that'd be pretty cool. Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Scott Toma. Listening right now and don't think that your story is important, think again. Scott admitted that meeting with and highlighting the stories of other retirees has completely changed the way that he views his life and certainly retirement. The key to longevity? Focus on others, don't focus on your age, and stay positive. That's some great advice. Scott, thank you for sharing your story. Again, you can find out more about Scott and his book, Out of the Blue, at tomabooks.com. Do you have a great story and you're listening here today? Shoot me an email. I'd love to hear about it. My email address is jared@retirerepurpose.com. That's jared@retirerepurpose.com. We'd love to hear about it and maybe have the opportunity to share your retirement story on the air next time. Until then, I'm Jared Sebesta. Remember, don't retire. Become repurposed. We'll see you then. It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Hey everybody, Jared Sebesta here, host of Retire Repurposed. Now, this podcast is about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. We believe retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful, purposeful, and fulfilling season of a person's life. So don't retire, become repurposed. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.